Graphics lecture. Today we will start with a new topic. It's a rather tiny topic and not too complicated, but nevertheless it is important, and it's a problem that will appear quite often, and that is the question of clipping lines and polygons. And yeah, so what does that mean? Clipping essentially means, or the challenge is always very simple. Assume you have a window on your screen, and now you want to render a line, draw a line, and you know how these projections and all that stuff works. So as a result, it might happen that you get a line from here to here, and this needs to be rendered. And now what needs to be computed is just that part of the line that is visible in that window. Yeah, so clipping means finding the intersection between a clipping window and a line, or later we will also see, and a polygon. For polygons, it's more difficult and more complicated, but we will start with a simpler part with lines. And we will also see that although this seems to be very, very simple, in the very beginning, we will find that there are certain cases where clipping really requires some thought. Okay, but we will start with the simplest part, or with the easy part. That's really clipping lines against a rectangular window. Why do we want to use clipping? I mean, the first thing is efficiency. So for a normal rendering of a 3D world, most of the objects, if you really have a surrounding world and not only a single object you're looking at, most of the objects just are not visible. Yeah? And it's good to quickly remove them from the pipeline before they generate too much load. But there's also another reason, and that's the avoiding degeneracies. And we will see that in the end of that lecture, of that chapter, that for, in particular, in combination with the normalization transformation, clipping is important because weird cases can appear with that transformation, and they have to be taken care of by clipping. But we will see that in the end. So, of course, clipping is a very common problem. It appears in many other cases. For instance, constructive solid geometry, that means that you have a number of simple primitives, and you use them to construct new, more complicated objects using Boolean operations like union or intersection or stuff like that. And in these cases, you also need to be able to do clipping and to compute how far a line, or to intersect a line, a 3D line, for instance, with a sphere or something like that. So it's a very, very common problem. And what we will do right now is analytic clipping, in the sense that we really compute, given a line, we compute a new line that is completely within our window. And of course, this could also be done directly during rasterization, just by only setting pixels that are outside the screen. This is obvious. We won't do that. We really will do analytic clipping. Okay, so the problem statement is simple. Given is a 2D line, so we start in 2D. Yeah, a 2D line from P1 to P2. Then we have a window, and for now we will always use an axis aligned box in screen space. So we have an X min, X max, Y min, and Y max coordinate to define the window. And what we want to find is that part of the line that is just completely inside that rectangle. How can we do that? Looks like there should be an image here. So what should we do? Or what's the main idea? The main idea is that we first try to identify obvious cases for which we can compute solutions without any thinking. And this is what we call trivial accept and reject. So these are cases where we can trivially say we don't have to think. And the first trivial case is that both endpoint and start point are within our window. In that case, we know that we don't have to do anything. The clipped line is just the line completely inside the window. Yeah, and then you might say trivial reject is the case where both points are outside the window. Yeah? This example, for instance, this example. But there's a counterexample, and that's this one. Yeah, both points are outside the window, but the clipped part here is not. Yeah? So a trivial reject obviously needs to be a bit more complicated or needs to look different. And yeah, we will see that in a second. So since this is a very old problem, it has been treated early, and Cohen-Sutherland described a simple algorithm to do that, and this we will describe right now. And the idea is that we classify all our lines using or by subdividing the plane according to the window into regions. In fact, we continue these clipping planes here, or these clipping lines, and this subdivides our plane into 9 regions. And now we, for each end and start point, we determine in which of these 9 regions they lie, and this gives us what we call outcodes. So here we can see that. Yeah, that's again this plane subdivided according with these lines. This gives us 9 regions, and the numbering of these regions now is such that every bit here corresponds to one of these lines of the rectangle. And a 1 at that position means it is outside with respect to this edge, and a 0 means it's inside. So all points inside that rectangle, yeah, have 0, 0, 0, 0, because they're inside with respect to this line, to this line, to this line, and to this line. So inside means on the right of this line, and on the left of this line, and below this line, and above this line. Yeah? So the meaning changes depending whether it's min or max. And 0 means inside. And so, for instance, here, obviously, this last one, the last digit, is responsible for this edge. Yeah, so every point here or here or here is outside with respect to this edge. So this edge here is the second. The first one is obviously this one, and the third one here. Yeah, so every bit corresponds to one edge. And yeah, here we can see how this outcode is computed. It's a kind of binary representation of these 4 comparisons. So it's very simple to compute. Okay, so why is that simple, or why does that help? If we have these outcodes, we can make a very fast trivial accept, like here, but now we can also define a trivial reject that does not show this case here. And how does that work? The idea is trivial accept means both points are inside the rectangle, and this is just the case if both outcodes are 0. Yeah, that's very simple to compute. Typically, you just say the outcode of the first point and the outcode of the second point, so a binary or. If this is 0, then both have been 0, and that means accept. Yeah? So if we have the outcodes, one single, very simple instruction gives us a trivial accept. More complicated are these trivial rejects. And in fact, the idea now is the following. If we have a line like this here, yeah, starting point and end point are both outside, but yeah, you know this is not enough. But what we can demand, or what we can say, if both are outside with respect to the same edge, yeah, or if there's one edge with respect to which both points are outside, then we can do a trivial reject. So in that case, this point is outside with respect to this edge, and this point too. Yeah, both are on the right of this edge. So it is impossible that this line here somehow crosses this boundary, yeah, gets inside, and then gets back again. That would not be a line. Yeah? For a line, if this is outside with respect to this edge and this one, then all in between are also outside, and we can easily reject all them. And for that, it's the same. Yeah, this one is outside with respect to this edge and to this edge. And this one too. Yeah. So essentially, that means we have to look at these outcodes and see whether there is one position for which both have a one. And yeah, this can just be computed by using a binary AND operation. So we take the outcode of the starting point and the outcode of the end point. And if there is a one remaining, yeah, then we have found one edge for which both are outside. So here it's the last one. This and this has a one in the end. And in that case, this and this reveals that there is a one here and here in both. So both can be trivially rejected. Yeah, that's very simple. So if we have the outcodes, we can maybe 90% of the lines can immediately be classified as completely inside or completely outside, and we do not have to compute anything. Yeah, so trivial except outcode of P1 or the outcode of P2 equals 0, and trivial reject outcode of P1 and outcode of P2 not equal to 0. And yeah, then some cases remain, and these are the cases that we have to handle now. Yeah, so this could be cases like, yeah, typical one would be one is inside, the other one is outside, or it could be a case like that. Both are outside, but there is maybe a segment in between that still can cross our clipping rectangle. Okay. Yeah, again here now these examples that I explained. Yeah, this gives a trivial reject, this gives a trivial reject, this one gives a trivial accept. the remaining cases, or now a number of cases remain, and what now is still possible is that we have a case like this. Yeah, this is a line that obviously could be rejected, but right now we cannot reject it just according to the base codes, outcodes. Yeah, this line and this line both have the same outcodes, but this one intersects the rectangle and this one doesn't. So both of these cases now can happen. And yeah, this again here, this example, yeah, both are outside. The trivial reject is not possible. And something remains, and the same situation here, but here it's just outside. Yeah? And this is the typical case going from inside to outside. Okay. No trivial accept and reject possible. That's obvious. Okay, so now we have to do a little bit more, and in fact, now we have to start computations and really have to compute intersections. Yeah? And so in that case, if we just look at that, what do we have to do? We see, okay, now P1 has a 1 here, an outcode. So obviously, our line potentially intersects this edge. And here we have a 1, so it also possibly intersects this edge. And in fact, it not only possibly intersects, we know it intersects these edges. Just because if it wouldn't intersect, then we would have made a trivial reject. Yeah? So obviously now we are intersecting any of the all these edges where we have a 1 here. Okay. That means we can look at the outcodes of these points. Yeah, so let's start with P1. So we find a 1 here. That means we are intersecting this edge. Yeah. So The simple idea, and that's already the first algorithm, is in that case, just find the intersection of the line with this edge, that's point S1, and then move point P1 to S1 and continue or restart the algorithm with that new segment, yeah, with a new segment S1 to P2. Yeah? We restart. Now this point is on the edge, which we classify as inside. So now this 1 will disappear. S1 will have an outcode 0, 0, 0, 0. And we are in the complete, or here, this one is completely inside. We will see only 0, so we will have to look at the outside point. Here we have still a 1. Yeah. So for the if it's the end point, again, we compute the intersection. This gives us S2. We move the end point to S2 and restart. And now we have the segment S1, S2. Both have outcode 0, so a trivial accept will happen, and we are done. OK, very simple. Yeah. Here again, written down. So outcode of P1 is 1, 0, 0. This is 0, 0, 0, 1. No trivial accept, no trivial reject. So we look at the outcode of P1. The left bit is set. So we compute the intersection with left and restart with S1, P2. The outcode here is 0, no trivial accept, no trivial reject. So we have to look at the end point. Here the top bit is set, that's this one. Compute S2, start restart with S1, S2. And here the outcodes are both 0, so we have a trivial accept. OK, that's simple. Now let's make a more difficult example, yeah, which is maybe not so clear. And that's now this case where nothing is left. Yeah? We cannot do a trivial reject because we have no common edge. Both are outside. But now we have the case, yeah, that we are nevertheless outside. OK, so we start by P1, P2. No trivial accept or trivial reject. So as we said, yeah, this is a 1. So we restart. We find the intersection with this one. So we restart with S1, P2. Yeah? And when we restart here now, we immediately see, OK, now the new outcode here of S1 is probably 0, 0, 0, 1. And this allows us a trivial reject now. Yeah? S1, P2, we don't have to need to go any further. It immediately tells us trivial reject because both are outside with respect to this edge now. So this method works nicely. And yeah, we computed an intersection here, a single intersection, and then made a trivial reject. So only a very little bit of computation is wasted. Here these points need to be computed anyhow. So the only overhead, essentially, we have is computing these outcodes. And that's very simple. OK, so that's the standard algorithm or basic algorithm of Cohn and Sutherland for lines. So it's very simple. But now there's an extension that makes things even faster and also easier. And that's called alpha clipping. And you see, yeah, that's Stone Age. It's very, very old. and now here the idea is the following. Or essentially, it has two ideas. The first one is that we do not really directly compute these intersection points. But instead, we only compute where on the line these intersections appear. That's a bit simpler. Yeah, so if we parameterize this line and say, OK, the starting point is at position 0, and this is at position 1, and every intermediate position can be described by a value alpha between 0 and 1, then we just compute the alpha values of these intersections. Yeah? So that's a bit easier to compute, a few less arithmetic operations are necessary in that case. And then another idea is a method to faster compute these these alpha values, or here in that method, I didn't describe how these points S1 and so on are computed. Yeah, I assume you're able to do so. And if you write that down, you see it's not complicated. Yeah, given P1 and P2 and X min, it's quite simple to compute S1. Now, a proposal to do that even simpler is to use what we call window edge coordinates. And the idea is that a window edge coordinate just tells you it's a coordinate relative to one of these clipping axes. And it tells us how far is a point away from that axis, from these edges. Yeah, so for this point, for instance, this would be the window edge coordinate. And this window edge coordinate is positive if we're inside and negative if we're outside. Yeah, so it's very simple to compute. For a point P, it is just its x component minus x min, for instance. That's for the left edge. For the right edge, it's x max minus px. Yeah, so order changes because once negative goes into this direction and the other time in the other direction. Yeah, but that's almost trivial to compute. Then the sign of these window edge coordinates immediately gives us the outcodes. Yeah? So the outcode is just the sign of these window edge coordinates. Negative means outside, by definition. And then the intersection computation also becomes quite simple. Yeah, that's the nice thing, if we have that. This can easily be seen. Let's assume we have this line from P1 to P2. Yeah? We know, and we are looking at this edge, E, and we know the window edge coordinates with respect to this edge. Yeah? So we know this distance, and we know this distance. Yeah? Okay. And further, we know that one point is on the left of this edge, or on the outside side, and the other, or on the inside part, and the other one is at the outside part. Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't need to compute that point. And now we parameterize this line P1 to P2 by a parameter alpha. Yeah, it's just a linear interpolation between P1 and P2, yeah? Something of that form, 1 minus alpha P1 plus alpha P2. Yeah? And for alpha between 0 and 1, this gives us all points on the line. And alpha equals 0 is here at the starting point, and alpha equals 1 is here at the end point. And the question is now, where on this line is the intersection? That's what we want to find out, yeah? The alpha value of that intersection. Okay, and now by looking at this, you can immediately see that we can easily compute that, yeah? So obviously, this alpha s here, yeah? Or the relation of this alpha s over this value is this entire alpha here over this value. Yeah, I will just write it down. So that means alpha s over this window edge coordinate, that's window edge coordinate P1, equals the entire distance here. And this the alpha for the entire line is 1 over this distance. And now we have to be a little bit careful with signs. So this window edge coordinate is positive, and this one is negative. So if we want to have the entire distance, we need this window edge coordinate minus this one. P1 minus window edge coordinate P2. Yeah, and if we multiply this here to the right side, we get exactly this formula here. Yeah? So that's very, very simple now. And it works independent, it would also work if this one, P1, is negative and the other one is positive, it would still work. Okay. Good. Yeah? So, what did we have to do up to now? We had to compute these window edge coordinates. That's a difference. Yeah, that's almost nothing. We had to compute outcodes from these. That's just the sign bit of these window edge coordinates. And with these outcodes, we can do a trivial reject and accept. Yeah? So we can directly use the sign bit of these window edge coordinates as outcodes. So that's also very, very efficient. And if we are not able to do trivial accept or reject, we can just by a difference and a ratio, computing a division, we can immediately get this alpha S value. And now, of course, what we also do is that we do not, for Cohen-Sutherland, yeah, when we found an intersection here, we restarted with the remaining part of the line. Yeah, and then the entire procedure started again, computing the outcodes and stuff like that. But of course, that can be done more efficient. And the way that is done is shown here. And that's the following, that we, for, we only compute the minimum, a minimum alpha value. That's the value where the line enters our window here. And alpha max is the alpha value where it leaves the window. So that's this alpha min and alpha max value. And in the end, a case can happen. So in that case, what you will get is alpha min here and alpha max here. And alpha min is less than alpha max. Yeah? So we know there's a part remaining. But if we have that case, alpha min will lie here. And alpha max will be here. And now alpha max is less than alpha min. And the result is that nothing remains. So what the result then is, compute the window edge coordinates. That's a difference. Compute the outcodes. That's just the sign bit of the window edge coordinates. Then trivial accept and reject. That's just a binary AND or on the outcodes. That's also very trivial. Otherwise, we'd have to do some computations, and we do it in a way that we iterate over all edges, and yeah, in fact, we only have to iterate over edges for which we have a 1 in the outcodes. And if this is the case, we know we intersect the edge, then we compute alpha. And if the starting point is outside with respect to that outcode, we set alpha min. Yeah, that is essentially that step where we move the starting point to the new intersection point. This is here done by setting alpha min. And if the end point is outside, then we adapt alpha max. Yeah? Both of these cannot happen because then we would have had a trivial reject again. Yeah? So only one of these is set. And in the end, we just look, is there a part remaining? If not, then the result is clipped. Nothing remains. And otherwise, yeah, we have to compute the position of the starting point and of the end point. Okay, very simple. Good. Yeah, so for the files and for learning, again, here a little example, and that's this naughty case here, yeah, which is probably always the most difficult one. So compute the window edge coordinates, compute the outcodes, trivial eject or reject is not, accept or reject is not possible. And then we go through the main loop, and then we see for edge 1, the outcode here is set. So here, P1 has a 1 here. So for this edge, we compute the alpha value, and we set alpha 1, or we set the alpha min to this alpha 1 here. So this is alpha 1, yeah? This is with respect to this edge. And because P1 is outside, yeah, we move P1 to alpha 1. And P1 is moved by setting alpha min. And next we look at P2. This has an outcode here. And so we compute alpha 2. And alpha 2 now is used to set alpha max. Alpha max because it should move P2. Yeah? And then in the end we find out that alpha 1 is behind alpha 2, so nothing remains. Okay, and here the counterexample, I think. Okay, here even another, it's not a counterexample, it's even another example, maybe the computation-wise, it can be even one more complicated. So this line intersects three edges here, left, bottom, and right, and of course you could extend it so that it also intersects top. Yeah. So now really all four times, four different alpha values are computed. And yeah, in that case, P1, or the minimum value becomes alpha 3, and the maximum value becomes alpha 2, and alpha 2 is still behind alpha 3, so that part here remains. Okay. Good. So that's the corresponding code, and it's mainly so long because these loops here, these loops over the edges are unrolled, so we explicitly have left, right, and so on. But all these operations in here are really very, very simple. Okay. Good. So that's the typical case. For clipping, you have a window, and you have a line, and you want to clip the line against the window. Yeah? But now, of course, you could also start thinking about, okay, what if my clipping region looks different? Yeah? And the typical thing would be that your window is covered by another window. Yeah, so you have this window, which is now covered by another window, and you want to clip this line here with respect to this clipping region. Yeah, now your clipping region is not so simple, and you also see that now something happens that couldn't happen before. Your line is clipped to two line segments. Yeah, two line segments remain. So obviously, yeah, we have to closer look at that. What happens if we do not only have a single rectangle? And so in fact, one very important difference that needs to be made here is whether our clipping area is convex or non-convex. Now, okay, I think you know the terms convex or the term convex of functions. Yeah. For point sets, convex simply means a set is convex if for any two points of that set, the line between these two points also is completely inside that set. Yeah, so if you have this set here, this ellipse with all the points inside that ellipse, yeah, if you take any two points within that set and connect them by a line, the line will be completely inside that set. Yeah, that's the more abstract definition of convex. And can probably best be seen if it have this non-convex object, yeah? Non-convex mean it has such a dent here, yeah? This point is inside, this point is inside, but there are points on the connection that are outside. Yeah? So this is obviously non-convex and this is convex. And now it is quite obvious that such this case here, yeah, could only happen because our clipping region here was non-convex. Yeah? Non-convex means that an arbitrary number of line segments can happen, but convex means that the clipping of the line with our with our boundary will always be a line segment again. Yeah, it cannot happen that it's been separated to several others. Okay, so obviously we have to differentiate these. Yeah, these are now, if we have real polygons as input sets, of course the same definition works. So this one is convex and this one is non-convex. And maybe for polygons, the simplest definition of convex, I would say, is that convex means that all these inner angles are less than 180 degrees. Yeah? So here this is the case, but here you have these angles and they are more than 180 degrees. Yeah, and that means that this polygon is no longer convex. Okay, so now let's start with a simple case, clipping against a convex polygon. That's very simple. Because now we can say, to clip such a line, and we have now an arbitrary convex polygon, let's say this one. Yeah, and now to do the clipping, what we can always do is that we say, first we clip against this edge, then we clip against this edge, and against this edge, and the result is clipped correctly. Yeah? The reason is that in the convex case, this object here is just the intersection of all the half spaces defined by the edges. Yeah? So whenever we clip against one of these half spaces, in the end we have clipped against this polygon. And so what that also means is that the algorithm that we had here for the rectangle with these edges, now here, with these edges, can directly be transferred. So there speaks nothing against, for instance, not taking this edge for clipping, but instead to use this edge. Now, the algorithm will still work. You can take any of these edges, yeah, and move them as you wish, like this. It still works as long as the resulting clipping region remains convex. Yeah? As soon as it is no longer convex, so let me think about a for that case it's a bit complicated. Yeah? Okay, so as long as it's convex, you're fine. It also doesn't need to have four edges. It also works with three edges, like this. Just fine. Also works. The only difference is you have three outcodes instead of four. Yeah? But otherwise, the entire algorithm as we described it still works. There's one important difference. The window edge coordinates are important. The window edge coordinates are a bit more difficult to compute. Yeah? Because if you have such an edge and you have this point, now you somehow have to measure this distance here. Yeah? But this is particularly simple if your edge looks like this, yeah. If it's something like x equals x min, then this distance is very simple to compute. If your edge is not aligned with the borders, it's a bit more complicated, but it's still just a scalar product. So it's still simple. And otherwise this algorithm still works. Yeah? This here still works, it's just left and so on have other names. And the number can be different. It can be 3, but it can also be 5 or 6 or so. Yeah? The only case where it doesn't work if your polygon is no longer convex. Otherwise, clipping can directly be transferred. Here again an example, now with a hexagon. And now we have n window edge coordinates, an arbitrary number. And the window edge coordinate is the sine distance of a point to an arbitrary line, yeah, which is just a little bit more complicated. Okay, and for non-convex clipping domains, this obviously doesn't work anymore. The reason now can also be seen that a non-convex object like this one is no longer the intersection of the half spaces of its edges. Yeah, if I take this half space of this edge, and intersect it with this half space, yeah, I get this region. This is fine. But if I now, for instance, take the intersection with this edge, I cut off this entire part here. Yeah? Then only this remains. And then if I cut off this half space, then only this little part here would remain. Yeah? And you see, it's obviously not the same. Yeah, so that's the reason why in that case the algorithm doesn't work anymore. And in that case, yeah, more complicated things need to be done. And the typical way is to subdivide that convex region, that non-convex region, into convex regions. Yeah, that's something that is required in several cases, not only for clipping. You want to have a convex region, or you have an algorithm that only works on convex regions. And if you have a non-convex region, but if you have a non-convex region, you can typically subdivide it in a way such that you get convex regions and then have to apply it for these multiple convex regions. Yeah, so that would be the example of a window system. We want to clip against this window, but this window is partially covered by this one. Yeah, so we have a non-convex region and can then apply this algorithm by subdividing, for instance, into this lower box and this box, and then clipping against the lower one that gives that segment, and the upper one gives us that segment. Very simple. Okay, good. So that's clipping of lines, but for us, probably more interesting case is clipping of polygons. Yeah, because typically the typical primitive that we want to render are triangles, and we won't do that today, but next time we will see that the clipping of triangles is more complicated. Yeah, here we have to think more, and the reason is that if you look at that example here, yeah, and you look at the clipping result, you see that this clipped result here now has 4 vertices, whereas the input only has 3. And yeah, you can, maybe that's something nice to think about during the afternoon. What is the most complicated object that you can generate by clipping a triangle versus a rectangle? Yeah, and you see that more complicated and more difficult cases can appear here. And computing going from here to here is also, if you know how to do that, not very complicated. And I will explain that to you on next Tuesday. Thank you. See you then.